You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia.
Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love.
And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and I look forward to being with you for the next hour. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial contributions that have kept us on the air for over 40 years now. So it allows us to bring you great shows like today's. I just have one announcement here before we get started. This coming Saturday, June the 4th, at the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul here in Center City, Philadelphia, will be a special evening in light of the Pentecost weekend. There will be a vigil mass at 5:15 p.m. where Reverend G. Dennis Gill will be the principal celebrant, and he'll be joined by Father Raphael Walchick, who is the delegate for the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. At 8 o'clock p.m., there will be a Holy Spirit Hour of Power and Praise. We'll continue our celebration beginning at 8 o'clock with a special time of prayer, praise, and worship, reflection by Father Gill, and invocation to the Holy Spirit to set our archdiocese on fire with the love of Jesus. All ages and families are welcome. For more information, you can visit www.phillyspirit.com. That's phillyspirit.com. For this upcoming Pentecost weekend, we hope that the Holy Spirit pours out on everyone, depending on how much you read on the internet and social media and what have you. Some people are expecting some great things here in the month of June. Of course, it's the month of the Sacred Heart. We have Pentecost on Sunday. We have the Feast of Corpus Christi coming up. Father Richard Heilman, who's been a guest of mine and Kathleen McCarthy's in the past, pointed out that, this Sunday we celebrate Pentecost, and then on Monday, June the 6th, we celebrate D-Day. And D-Day is coming sooner or later for our faith, and that's why we have our guest today, Michael McDonald from the Catholic League. He's served as the Catholic League's Director of Communications since August of 2020. In this role, he has written several major reports, has made numerous appearances on television and radio, and hosts the Catholic League Forum, a weekly YouTube video. Prior to joining the Catholic League, Mike served in the Trump administration from 2017 to 2020 in various positions involving communications and faith-based outreach. Before his time in the executive branch, he worked on Capitol Hill for members from his native state of Florida from 2014 until 2017. He has additionally volunteered on several campaigns. In 2012, Mike earned his degree in politics from the Catholic University of America. Welcome to the show, Mike. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for having me on.
And we just had a moment to talk before we got started here, and it wasn't until around 3:30 this afternoon when I looked up the my Catholic League forum videos and realized that you were the mic that I was going to have on. So it's great to have the live voice that's behind the recordings. And for our listeners, I strongly recommend going out to YouTube and do a search on Catholic League Forum. They usually come out every week. It's normally our guest Mike McDonald with Bill Donahue, the face of the Catholic League. But more and more, Michael's been playing a larger role. So, but you get to hear the two of them discuss the what's going on in the Catholic world each week, and some of these stories that are coming out that they comment on. I just had a quick question about the forum. Like, do you have any ideas of going somewhere besides just YouTube? Have you investigated like Rumble or any of those others? I just fear that someday, as more and more people are getting censored, especially when you're talking about Pelosi and what have you, that it may only be a matter of time until you get censored.
Yes, no, we're constantly living with that sort of Damocles dangling over our heads very precariously, because you never know when Silicon Valley is going to strike down, especially, you know, a Christian organization, because they love going after people of faith. But yeah, we're looking at other avenues of getting the forum out there. And again, thank you for the opportunity to plug it. You know, we do it every week as a way to sort of recap everything that we're doing, because, you know, we put out a lot of press releases. We do a lot of great work around the office here, and thanks to our great team and, of course, Bill Donahue's leadership. You know, we're constantly in these fights. But, you know, sometimes people do miss something, and so this is just a great way to sort of recap a lot of the things that we've been working on and to flag important issues, you know, for a Catholic audience, for people of faith. And also, you know, I always try and plug in on there different ones that we have, because that's, you know, we're a grassroots organization at the end of the day. So always it's important to highlight ways that we have for our members and our listeners, our readers, to get involved in these things.
Very good. So, yeah, so a great website at CatholicLeague.org. You can always look at their press releases there. You can look at the videos through that website. Get links over to YouTube. And always, you know, right on top of the current issues, and we're going to talk about a few of them today. Obviously, one of the things that's been in the news the last couple of weeks has been the upcoming decision on Roe v. Wade and the leaked decision that came out, I think it was on May the 4th. And so we're almost a month into that, still waiting to see. And I was even talking to somebody today, Michael, thinking, you know, was there an opportunity in there? Did the leaker do this so the pressure could be applied to the Supreme Court justices and actually get them to change their mind? But what it's given us, though, is this last month to go back and, you know, revisit Roe v. Wade and some of the work that the Catholic League has done in talking about how that erroneous decision, you know, came to be, and especially the anti-Catholic forces that were behind it. And I'll be honest, I didn't realize, you know, how anti-Catholic some of the folks that were, you know, pushing for the legalization of abortion, and, you know, really just another way to try and get the Catholic Church out of the public square, as it's been trying to do now for 50 years.
Yeah, no, that's a huge point that really gets overlooked. You know, Catholics are a minority in this country, so our contributions are not necessarily always, you know, when they talk about the religious right, they're usually talking about evangelicals. And, you know, they've done, you know, a lot of good work in the pro-life space, but people forget in 1972, this was seen as a Catholic issue. You know, Roe v. Wade, abortion, that was an issue that only the Catholic Church was speaking about. Catholics were the only organized religion coming out in mass saying that, you know, abortion is wrong, it is the ending of an innocent human life. And so as a result, you know, the powers that be that were trying to push this home into this terrible, erroneous decision really focus in on the Catholics, because we were the people that were organizing, we were the people on the front lines fighting, we were there pretty much by ourselves. And, you know, we put the target on our back because it was the right thing to do. But the enemies of the church really honed in on us and really tried to present this as, this is just a fringe Catholic issue. You don't want to be associated with them.
Yeah.
You know, just getting back to it, this decision was poorly decided from the start. Yeah, you can be, an atheist that loves abortion. They treat it like a sacrament on their side. But at the end of the day, even Ruth Bader Ginsburg said this should not have been decided by the courts. Why should 9 unelected public officials be making this decision when, if you read through the Constitution, it clearly states things like this are supposed to be worked out through the legislative branch and enforced by the executive branch. But that didn't happen in this case. And it's a terrible tragedy that, again, 9 unelected officials were able to make decisions of life and death.
Yeah, and then now we look at some 63 million abortions in this country, and I think that listening to another commentator, I think it's 1.6 billion worldwide, in the last 49 years. And, some of the folks that were behind us, and again, the great article that's on CatholicLeague.org came out yesterday, talking about the history. And, I think a lot of people are familiar with NARAL and, the role that they try to play today in, and even the name, when you look at it, it sounds like it's like a great organization. Like, who would ever be opposed to, an organization that's for reproductive rights? But it's the beginning, National Abortion and Reproductive Rights Action League. And, these folks had gotten actually started in the 60s to start pushing this agenda, but knowing that they had to somehow or other get the Catholics out of the way and link it to Catholicism so that they could attack the church. And just before I turn it back to you, I read through the whole article, and it's talking about, Dr. Nathanson and the role that he played and the ideas that he and Mr. Lader would have, their conversations they would have about how to make this happen. And then at the very end of the article, in italics it says, Nathanson later gave up his abortion practice, became pro-life, and converted to Catholicism. And I just think how ironic it is that he's not the only one, right? We hear so many stories about people that worked in that industry that went in, thinking that they were, helping women with reproductive rights. And, they've since, got out of the industry and talk about what it's really like and what goes on there. But, here's a guy that was, all in to get this passed decided on in the Supreme Court and would later convert to Catholicism. I just thought it was really ironic.
That's a very good point. Obviously for space, we run out of room all the time because there's a lot to say on this issue. That was even from something we had to cut down and cut down again. But if I recall correctly, he's quoted later in life saying that the reason why he chose to convert to Catholicism was because he felt so bad for what he did, and the only religion that seemed to have any sort of redemptive quality that could forgive him for all the evil that he did was the Catholic Church. So that just speaks volumes to the power of our faith in and of itself, which is something nice that we should keep in mind there, that there is hope, that every abortion is a tragic situation, but there can be hope and healing for anyone. God is willing to save them at the end of the day, and that's just a testament to our faith. But just circling back on the reproductive rights, you look through like all of these Catholics that are in government, in the administration, currently today, that are just in love with abortion. They can't get enough of it. They're promoting it to the high heavens. But they rarely use the word abortion, right? It's a right to choose or reproductive rights. They like these sanitized words to disguise the fact that what's going on here is the destruction of an innocent human life.
Yeah, and anytime, and I don't look to get into these debates, but in talking to people, all I had to do is like point to an article in a local newspaper this morning. We're in Center City, Philadelphia. The next county south of here is Delaware County, And in the Delco Times this morning, there's an article about, you know, somebody getting arrested and being charged with two counts of murder because they murdered a pregnant woman. And it's like, well, wait a minute. I thought it was just a clump of cells, or that life didn't really have any meaning. How can you charge them with two counts of murder if there's only, you know, one human being there? And so, you know, it's convenient, you know, to call it a clump of cells or a fetus or what have you, when it serves your purpose. But, you know, in reality, when it comes to law and other things in life, you know, even all the scientists now that you know agree that, you know, life begins at conception, that it's not, you know, that it's not just a fetus, that it's not just a clump of cells. So that's the one that always gets me, is when I see these pregnant women, unfortunately, that get murdered, and all of a sudden they're going to get the culprit gets charged with two counts of murder instead of one.
Yeah, and you know, it's that's actually an interesting thing you bring up, because Javier Becerra, who's the current Secretary of Health and Human Services, when that became a law back in, I think it was 2004, he voted against that. Right? These are the people that are running our government, people that think that, you know, even if it was murder of a woman, we shouldn't count the death of the child as well. So, you know, we got to do some serious praying. And worst of all, he professes to be a Catholic. So we have a lot of work to do. We need a lot of prayers. We need a lot of more people to get involved on this critical life issue.
Yeah. On the positive side, and I just know this from my own experience of going to the pro-life march. When I first went, it was probably, I don't know, 10 or 15 years. I was late to the game. But, you know, going with a parish bus. And when I first went, it seemed to be almost all Catholics. I'd be willing to bet 90%, if not higher. And in the more recent years, there's been more and more evangelical groups. There's been more and more Episcopalian churches, and folks that are obviously not Catholic that have gotten involved in this pro-life movement. And so it's given me hope. And then, you know, we've been talking the last couple of years, especially with President Trump, about the possibility of overturning Roe v. Wade. And, of course, with the court that we have now, and with the leaked decision, it sounds like that may happen. But
yes.
the repercussions that come from that, and, you know, even more attacks now on the Catholic Church, and that the Catholic Church is behind it, I guess, because they think that the justices that are Catholic are the ones that are probably the ones that are voting to overturn, and that, you know, once again, it circles back that this is a Catholic issue, that they, you know, groups calling for, you know, vandalism to Catholic churches, which has happened in a couple of places already, and, you know, other fallout. And we haven't even gotten the decision yet, right?
Yep, no, we're still waiting on that decision. That's the first thing we do every morning, and we're pretty much here at the Catholic League, you know, just click and refresh on the Supreme Court's website, SCOTUS blog, going all the places, just waiting to see when this is going to come down. Because, as you pointed out, right, Catholic churches are being targeted today. Catholic groups are being targeted today by pro-abortion radicals. Pro-abortion activists are out there disrupting masses, vandalizing churches, interrupting pro-life rallies. This is a current live issue. I mean, you know, for nearly 50 years, Catholics have been alone fighting for this issue. You know, thank goodness we've gotten some support that the country is becoming more and more of a pro-life country. Different religious groups, people of all faiths are getting involved, which is great. But at the end of the day, this was started by the Catholics, and these rabid pro-abortion radicals have not forgotten that the Catholics started this fight and are going to win this fight, but they're coming after us now. And, you know, what was it, probably back in March, February now, Bill Donahue sat down with Cardinal Dolan here in New York and raised the concerns, like, what are we doing here to make sure that our churches are protected, because they're going to be coming for us with the vengeance. And unfortunately, we're seeing that more and more. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, we're getting help here in New York. They've got a great relationship with the police. But if you look at the federal level, you know, you've got the DHS, the FBI, the whole alphabet soup of government law enforcement is now trying to equate that, well, we also have to keep an eye on the pro-life people. The pro-lifers, they're crazy. They're capable of violence, too. What are you guys talking about? You know, you're not seeing anything. You know, we went through, we scoured the internet. There was one crazy guy that got into a fight out in Arizona. That is the only thing that they can point to as an example of, within the last month, of a pro-life person getting involved in anything violent. One crazy guy in Arizona does not equate to the entire pro-life movement. But this administration is coming after Catholics. They're trying to equate pro-life people to the radicals that we're seeing on the pro-abortion side, which are actually engaged in violence because that's their friends and allies.
Yeah, and to think that, you know, we have a president that claims to be, you know, a devout Catholic, a Speaker of the House that claims to be a devout Catholic, so many folks in Congress and the Senate that, you know, want to say how Catholic they are, but at the same time, you know, support these radical pro-abortion folks, that to me it's almost incomprehensible. And, you know, we watched in the last couple of weeks where the Archbishop Salvatore Corleone in San Francisco, you know, it's something that I think a lot of true devout Catholics have been hoping would happen for a long time, you know, for one of these bishops, archbishops, cardinals to call out these politicians on their radical pro-abortion stances. I mean, so as soon as the leak comes out, it didn't take but a couple of days for, you know, Pelosi and her crew to put together a bill that, you know, not only was going to codify Roe, but codify it for all 9 months of pregnancy. And who knows if it would have gone, you know, even further than that. And so for Corleone to step in and Archbishop Corleone to step in and, you know, and say enough's enough. And, you know, her refusal to meet with him and to even discuss it, you know, I guess he felt that this was the only option he had was to, you know, ban her from communion. And not that it lasted. If that came down on a Thursday, that Sunday she was in a church in Washington on Sunday receiving communion from people that are more than willing to, you know, allow her and the president and anybody else, I guess, to receive Holy Communion.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. You know, Archbishop Corleone is a great titan within the Catholic hierarchy today in this country. You know, the way he handled the situation was very professionally, with a lot of grace, a lot of skill. He reached out to her about 7 times in order to try and, you know, just talk it out. Let's, you know, I just want you to know you can't get up there and say you're a devout Catholic while promoting abortion. Let's have a dialogue here. Something that, you know, the left tells us we need to do all the time, but, you know, that they don't, they're never willing to engage us in any sort of dialogue. You know, he reached out, he tried to do the right thing. Last year he was doing a prayer campaign, trying to get people in San Francisco and across the country to pray for Nancy Pelosi's conversion. Doing the Lord's work here, reaching out as a pastor. As, you know, Pope Francis said, you know, if we're going to go down this road, we need to make sure we're doing everything pastorally. You know, so he did everything by the books. But something that frequently gets overlooked here is Nancy Pelosi is the one who actually started this rift with Archbishop Corleone back in 2015, I think it was. He's just 2 years into, or 2014 it was. He's 2 years into the job. They're doing a march out in California for defense of marriage, you know, a very live issue out in the left coast there. And she starts lecturing him on public television, on national television, saying, oh, this is wrong. You shouldn't be doing this. You're giving Catholics a bad name. Meanwhile, he's just standing up for the church, just upholding Catholic teachings, representing the church in a rally to preserve Catholic teachings, and she's going out of her way, how dare you make us look bad like this? You know, I'm sorry, Nancy Pelosi, but you have lost any sort of moral high ground when you start lecturing your archbishop like that.
No, absolutely. And I think that that's what's infuriating with, you know, people that are in these so-called high places, politicians and and higher levels of business that come out as though they speak for the Catholic Church, or they know more than those that are in the hierarchy of the Catholic Church when it comes to this. And the issue I've always had with abortion and whether it it's legal or not is that they don't talk about what happens to these women and men, post-abortive men, that the effect that this has and the lives that are destroyed. It's not just the baby that is killed in these situations. It's often the mother and the father, and it may not be right away, but sooner or later their conscience catches up with them. And, the folks with Silent No More and other post-abortive groups that try to make people aware that, there's a lot more going on here than just taking the life of the baby.
No, absolutely. Every abortion is a tragedy. We should never lose sight of that. And it's just, Clinton ran on in the 90s, we were going to make abortion safe, legal, and rare. There's no such thing as a safe abortion. As you point out right there, people's lives, not just the child, but also, the parents, their lives are damaged by this as well, and it's very important, especially as Catholics, as we're talking about, these other abortionists that have had the conversion of faith, to make sure that we are there to also represent the redemptive aspect of our faith, which I would argue is probably one of the strongest aspects of our faith.
No, absolutely. I've had the good fortune, I can't recall her name, that founded Rachel's Vineyard, and I know a couple of priests that have done those retreats to help post-abortive men and women to reconcile themselves with God, and not just necessarily with the church, but with God. And to your point, that as you mentioned with Dr. Nathanson before, that we're the church that can reveal God's mercy, God's forgiveness, to allow them to reconcile that relationship and achieve that healing that's so desperately needed is just critical. So we got about a minute before we're going to go to the break. So any last words on Roe v. Wade, and maybe when we come back, I don't know if you have more that you want to get into with Roe, or we could venture into some other topics, but I'll give you a minute here, Michael, before we go to the break.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you, Ken. Again, I'd just like to encourage all your viewers to check out our website. Our website is CatholicLeague.org, CatholicLeague.org. That's all one word. Check it out. We've got a wealth of information on this topic. Ken and I here, we've just scratched the surface, so please check out the website, CatholicLeague.org, and you'll find out a lot more information and great ways to get involved as well.
Very good. It's a few seconds early. We'll go ahead and take the break now, Patrick, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Michael McDonald from the Catholic League. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Dr. Carol Houghton of the Diocese of Harrisburg. I have been blessed in many ways by Kathleen McCarthy's retreats, days of reflection, preaching, and teaching, especially on In His Sign Catholic Radio. When Kathleen teaches from the Scripture and shares with us her personal stories, I am deeply touched and inspired. It is as if God is speaking directly from her heart to my heart. And when Kathleen reads from her books, In the Silence of My Heart, she shares with us what God has spoken to her, an intimate message of unconditional love and mercy. God has blessed Kathleen with many gifts, which she readily shares with others, by doing every day what the Lord has asked of her. And by the example of her yes to God, we too are encouraged to give our yes to God. For Kathleen's daily and public witness to the gospel, I will be forever grateful. For it is by this example that she challenges me to become a better disciple of the Lord. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Your host, Ken Johnston. And I want to praise and thank God once again for all of our listeners. And thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign. It allows us to bring you shows like today's. And these shows are going to grow ever more importantly as, you know, things continue to unfold in this crazy world of ours, where it's going to be real easy to perhaps doubt God's existence and wonder where he is in all this chaos that we're talking about day in and day out. So stay tuned, stick here, and be, you know, rest assured that God is alive and well, and that somehow or other he's going to bring great graces, great mercies out of all this at some point. I don't know how, don't know when, but he's promised that, right? Wherever sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. So hang tight, pray for one another, get prepared by, you know, strengthening yourselves both physically and spiritually. Continue to work and develop that prayer life, you know, and get ready for whatever it is that's coming. And for those that believe, we don't need to fear. You know, God's got our back, and we just need to trust. And hopefully this Pentecost will have a special meaning for everyone. Be spirit-filled and realize that God has sent us the greatest gift in the world in his Holy Spirit, that he's come to live in each and every one of us through our baptism and confirmation, and that he will protect us. So our guest today, once again, has been Michael McDonald. He's from the Catholic League, and just a great organization. Bill Donahue is probably one of the most prolific writers I've ever come across. He seems to churn out articles on a daily basis, and I know Michael is working with him to do the same. And but really to keep Catholics on top of what's going on in the world, and especially as it impacts our Catholic faith and our church. So I highly recommend that you become familiar with CatholicLeague.org, perhaps even become a member. They have a monthly publication called The Catalyst that is available to members. You can also get the archive versions on their website as well. And as Michael mentioned before, he and Bill Donahue do a podcast each week that gets put up on YouTube, where they cover the stories that they've done in the prior week. So you want to subscribe to their YouTube channel as well. So in the first segment, we spent the whole time talking about the leaked Roe v. Wade decision and the impacts that it's already had, and the potential impact that we'll see once the Supreme Court ruling actually comes out, which should be any day now. But one of the other things that has come up recently and really weighing on people's minds, and, you know, continues to be all over the news, of course, you know, some folks can't let a good crisis go to waste, is the another shooting in Texas. And I hate putting a label mass shooting on it, Michael. I'm in Philadelphia. You're in New York City. Philadelphia this past weekend, I had heard on early Monday that there had already been 13 shootings here over the weekend. And, you know, so it's almost, you know, the same as the number of kids and teacher, you know, the two teachers that were killed in Texas. So, you know, you have a situation, obviously, where, you know, a large number of people were killed at one time. But these killings are going on day in and day out, especially in our large cities. So, you know, so, but I get it. You know, this thing in Texas and especially the way that the media wants to portray it and use it, but to achieve their ends or their goals. And as we've already stated with the Roe decision and the whole pro-abortion thing, that they want to destroy the Catholic Church. And not that the Catholic Church is in the forefront of the Second Amendment or gun rights, but but we are, at least the Catholic League, put out a great article this week that not only talked about the situation in Texas, but, you know, Buffalo and other areas where this has occurred over the last couple of years, and the things that all of these shooters have in common. And when I read the article, you know, it's so glaring to me, you know, what's going on and you know, the issues that we see in our cities and, you know, especially among young people that, you know, are turning to these lives of crime, and usually all coming from a similar background, right? A dysfunctional family, perhaps no father or, you know, a father that's got a lot of issues, mothers that have issues. And when you read the article that the Catholic League put out, it's like, no wonder these things happen, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely, you're right on that, and you know, I think that's you know, very good point to mention here that, you know, the Catholic Church is not, you know, this Second Amendment gun-toting organization, and nor is the Catholic League for that matter. You know, I like guns. I'll be honest about that. I think they're a tool that if you use them correctly, you can do good things with them. You can protect yourself, protect your family, put food on the table. So good things can come from them. But what the Catholic Church and the Catholic League is involved in on a pretty regular basis, we promote traditional family values. And if you look at not just the mass shootings that Bill Donahue points out in his great piece you can find on our website, CatholicLeague.org, but we're also seeing in these major urban areas, you know, Chicago, New York, D.C., Philly, the whole West Coast, you know, you got all these problems that are stemming from a societal problem. It's you know, it has to be bigger than guns, because there are all sorts of people that are enamored with this sort of culture of violence, culture of death. You know, we just spent 30 minutes talking about abortion, which is you know, the epitome of the culture of death. But we do have a serious problem in this country with people that are giving themselves over to this this death cult. And again, as you pointed out, one of the best remedies for this is a strong family unit. The intact family unit generates the best societal outcomes in everything, not just crime, test scores, potential earnings in the future. All these things are very important. They're all tied together. And yeah, a lot of these instances, you know, the crazy guy down in Uvalde, Texas, didn't have a father in the home. His mother abused drugs. There's videos or pictures of him surfacing now where he killed a bunch of cats. And where's the parental figures stepping in and steering him, guiding him to be better? You know, the guy up in Buffalo that went on the shooting spree because he's upset about white replacement theory and all sorts of other nonsense that he puts in. You know, a rag on Discord. Where were his family? Like, right? He also killed a cat. You know, these crazy guys, they like killing cats for some reason. But, you know, if I was younger and I did something like that, I know I wouldn't be able to sit for a week because my father would have had more than just a few strong words to say. So, right, we need strong men of faith in homes to prevent problems like this. And until we start actually talking about these types of problems, the lack of correct male guidance for young men, we're going to keep seeing these problems.
Yeah, and, you know, in Bill's article, you know, they're loners, you know, and, man, when you're alone, it's the – so my background is in recovery from alcoholism, and it brought me to my knees, brought me back to my faith, and as a result, I somehow or other ended up on the radio. And, you know, we say all the time that the idle mind is the devil's playground, and especially with the things that are available to young people today, especially through the internet and social media, pornography, you know, you name it. And, you know, and my family sometimes is as guilty as the next. We were away over the weekend for the Memorial Day holiday, and, you know, the one morning I looked around, and the two grandkids that are 4 and 5 are on they're on their Kindle Fires. My three kids that were there are all on their phones. My wife and I are on our phone. My son-in-law is on his phone. And, you know, we're talking about what we're looking at, but I think about, in light of this conversation, that if you're alone and that's all you have, that you can, you know, get so twisted up. And the sad part is, in a number of these cases, if not all, you know, that there's flags out there, red flags out there that, you know, in hindsight, you could see it coming if you, you know, if you put things together. And unfortunately, I think there's two things, right? One is that, you know, people just don't have the time, you know, or they're not connecting the dots ahead of time. And then even for those that do, that they're afraid to come forward. And one of the things, you know, alluded to in Bill's article is that, you know, you report somebody and now they're, you know, their name and address and all that other stuff gets put out there. And, you know, do you want to be the neighbor that's responsible for that? Or do you want to be the kid in high school that's responsible for ratting out, you know, somebody else? And for me, you know, I grew up hearing stories about a great grandfather who, I guess, went insane. He ended up in an asylum, and they actually did a lobotomy to some degree on him. And I think, you know, there were issues with mental institutions, but we threw the baby out with the bathwater, and instead of, you know, fixing what was wrong, we just closed them. And now you can't even force people to get help. You know, they have to actually ask for it. And how many of these kids that are, you know, getting twisted up with social media and going on these rampages actually seek help? You know, they're crying for help through their actions, but they don't actually ask for it, so they don't get it.
Yeah, that a lot to unpack there. You're absolutely right, though. And, you know, that is one of the great things about the Catholic Church. And if you, Bill actually has a book that he written a couple years back. We're just talking about it the other day, kicking around for this piece. The Catholic Advantage, one of the things he points to of people of faith across the world, but particularly in Catholicism, is the bonds. You know, we make a bond with our fellow worshipers, our fellow congregants, but we also have a bond to a higher power. That bond is one of the keys to health and happiness and ultimately salvation. But if you look at the, you know, again, looking at the mass shootings in particular, these guys don't have bonds. They're on their own. They're isolated. They're loners, which, again, opens up all sorts of opportunities for them to fall into just this deviant sort of lifestyle. And so, you know, it's very important that as a family you're building up those bonds and making sure that, you know, even in your community as well, because, again, if you do see someone doing something wrong, there is this very strong temptation to, well, I don't want to be the guy that gets involved. You know, this is someone else's problem. But, you know, that's, at the end of the day, that is a lack of one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, we have to stand up for what is right and do the right thing. Because if you don't, you ignore the red flags, problems like this are going to continue. So, you know, that's very important. And, yeah, there's definitely a huge mental health component to mass shootings. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, we've been keeping tabs on at the Catholic League is all of these school psychologists. psychiatrists, counselors that have been pushing this transgender ideology. And, you know, you go on Libs of TikTok on Twitter, you'll just find story after story about these counselors that are doing this. Well, where's the counseling for the kid that, you know, is not making friends, that isn't bonding correctly in school, that is a little different from everyone else? Where's his counseling? We're spending more time with these counselors throwing drag queen story hour than they are in actually doing their jobs of reaching out to kids that are in desperate need.
Yeah, and in those formative years. And that's why, some mornings you wake up and, I look at the news for 8 minutes and can't take any more because of, how upside down all of this seems to be. And I know my engineer here, Patrick, and I, we were having a conversation earlier today. It's just diabolical, what's going on. And, is all this, being coordinated at some level, or is it just so many groups out there that are either out for themselves, or I don't want to say they're possessed, but obsessed perhaps in undoing all that is good in the world. And, how do we fight it? Because one of the things, especially with this show, it's called What the World Needs Now, and obviously we need God's love. And, where are the solutions going to come from? I think in a lot of cases there's only one solution, and it's going to be God, and I don't know how he's going to be going to do it. But like you said earlier, for individuals to start to stand up for, especially, fathers, to take our role in the households and raise kids and look for those flags and not necessarily to be a friend, but to at least know what our kids are up to so that we can, guide them in the right direction. I feel so blessed to have the father that I had that, he was far from perfect, but was at least a guide in my life.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And there is a problem with men in this country, unfortunately, whether it's absentee fatherism. And that's not just even the fathers that are, total deadbeats and just walked out. That also includes, the ones that are there but are not physically, they're physically there but not spiritually in the home, demonstrating what God's justice looks like. That's a serious problem that we're having in our society, right? Everything's toxic masculinity. But sometimes you do need strong men in order to keep the bad outcomes at bay. But you've got this whole, the Democrats, right? For years, they would refuse to talk about men. Men, white men particularly, they're the devil. They're the oppressors. It was just in like the last month that men started coming up, but the only time they want to talk about men is pregnant men, which is just a complete fiction and a fallacy of the highest order. We also want to start talking about hobbits and unicorns and what other mythical creatures we can come up with? How about we talk about some serious issues that, are simple, common sense solutions to a lot of these problems? If we had stronger men in the home, being good fathers, representing God's love and justice, we probably would have a lot fewer of these problems, whether it's a mass shooting in Texas or, gangbangers duking it out on the streets of Philadelphia. These things are problems because we don't have the proper role for men in society, particularly demonstrating to young men how they're supposed to behave and grow up to be responsible adults.
Yeah, one of the other things we were actually talking about this morning was the timing of Roe and Madeline Mary O'Hare in taking God out of our public schools. And it just seems like it didn't happen overnight, but over the last 50 plus years between pulling God out of the public square, pulling God out of our public schools, and the Roe decision, when you think about it, it's no wonder we are where we are. but again, you know, how to not that we necessarily need to go back to the 1950s, because when people say that, everybody, you know, just kind of chuckles and like you think that was the greatest, you know, time that ever was. But to get back to family values, to get back to the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the fear of the Lord. And that's not that we're afraid of a vengeful God, but that we're afraid to offend him. And obviously, you know, the most horrendous thing we can probably do is murder somebody, whether it's a baby in the womb or somebody on the street. And yet today there's absolutely no fear. And in cities like Philadelphia,
you're absolutely right about that, which is why, you know, at the Catholic League, our mission is to fight for the rights of Catholics, right? That you can live your faith in the public square. Because at the end of the day, it is those values, the values that made America great in the first place, that are sorely lacking in society today, that we genuinely need in order to get back to, you know, we don't need to go back to the 1950s. You know, I wasn't born in the 50s. I can't really comment on the 50s. But, you know, everyone says it was a great time. Okay, fine, whatever. We're not going back. We're not turning the clock back. But those values are timeless, and they do provide better societal outcomes. They protect life, and they let people live up to their God-given potential. And that's why we focus on defending religious liberty, religious rights here at the Catholic League, particularly for Catholics, because if you can't practice your faith, where you're going to end up with what we're seeing today, and that is a society, a culture that revolves around death and destruction.
Yeah. And, you know, as we're talking here, Michael, I realized in some of the emails that went back and forth between you and Harry, one of our other producers, and I, that, you know, the original topic that we had reached out to you for was, you know, George Soros and his role in all of this. And as we're talking about what's going on, and I can, you know, specifically talk about the situation here in Philadelphia, where we have a Soros-backed DA in Larry Krasner, who just, it seems like, doesn't want to put anybody in jail. And, you know, as a result, and I can't blame our police officers, the number of open cases and crimes that don't get solved, and you know, who wants to work on them if the DA is not going to do anything? But there is a force behind all this, and it's not just, you know, Satan directly. That there are, you know, in Soros and some of these groups that he supports, that you know, are definitely contributing to the problem.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's, you know, again, we really need lay Catholics to step up here and educate themselves and be vigilant on this, because, right, the Catholic Church, for over 2,000 years, has been the moral high bar. We set the tenor for what is right and proper from a moral perspective, and, you know, people like Soros know that, and they are going to work their way. They're going to set up fake groups like Faith in Public Life and Faithful America. These two organizations that are just constantly weakening the church, trying to give the impression that it's okay if you reject the church's teaching, you can still be a devout Catholic. They're trying to, again, these are Soros's words. They came out in John Podesta's words. They came out in the WikiLeaks back in 2012. But their goal is to foment a revolution in the church, to again hijack the narrative, steal the message, so that they can present things that are contrary to church's teaching, because the way they see it now, the church is in opposition to them making their great woke, liberal, leftist utopia, whatever we want to call it, constantly a thorn in their side. And so to them, the church isn't a source of moral teaching. It's not a source of God revealing his love to humanity. To them, it's just a political tool that they can use to try and co-opt to advance their left-wing ideology, and at the end of the day, it's going to take real Catholics, people of faith, to stand up and stand strong and make sure that these organizations are marginalized and don't get a deeper foothold in the church than they already have.
Amen. Well, Michael, this hour has flown by. Great conversations, some great, not great topics, but troubling topics with better explanations that you'll get on any television channel or anywhere on the internet other than the Catholic League. So I know you guys are busy up there, and just ask you to continue to keep up the good work. And you know, we'll continue to monitor what you're putting out, and I'd love to have you back again in the near future. Again, our
no,
guest.
Absolutely, anytime, Ken. Love today. You know, we're talking about some serious topics here. They're very sad, but you know, I do think we're going to get a big win here, hopefully in a couple of days, end of the month at the latest, on abortion. And you know, again, if we all just start actually living out our faith and having the courage to act on it, as a country, we can begin to heal, and you know, everyone can achieve life and live up to their God-given potential. So, you know, it might seem like doom and gloom sometimes, but we're in the fight, we're winning it, and the Catholic League is definitely leading the charge on that.
Amen. Again, our guest has been Michael McDonald. You can read all about the Catholic League at catholicleague.org. We also mentioned the Catholic League Forum, a weekly podcast available on YouTube. I highly recommend you check it out and subscribe. Michael, thanks for your time, pal. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ken. Appreciate it. God bless.
God bless.
Right, bye.
Bye-bye now. So, a number of topics that come in, none of them fun to talk about, but you know, serious things in a serious, chaotic, crazy world that we live in. But brothers and sisters, we know the solution. As Father McKay always says, we may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And now more than ever, we need to turn to Him. You know, pray that rosary, the great weapon that the Blessed Mother gave us, in order to continue to fight the good fight. As Michael said at the end, the best thing we can do is to live out our Catholic faith. We had a conversation last night at our Calyx meeting, you know, about prayer and talking about God's will, praying for God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And God's will for us is to love ourselves and or to love God, rather, and then love our neighbor as ourselves. And so we spend time with God each day in prayer, grow closer to Him. He will reveal Himself. He'll let you know what He needs you to do. And then and love our neighbor. You know, go out of our way to, you know, help one another. And even something as simple as a smile or a good morning or a conversation with somebody that may not get frequent visitors. And, you know, be who you can be to others, and especially what God wants you to be to others. You know, sacrifice a little of ourselves to help them. So again, I want to praise and thank God for all of you, and thank you for being with us for whatever part of the 2 hours today. I certainly appreciate it, and I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of His hand. Take care, and God bless.